It's Port of Astoria Board of Commissioners meeting. I'll call the meeting to order in a regular session. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Hill is absent. Commissioner Fickle.
Here.
Commissioner Roan is absent. Commissioner Campbell.
Here.
And Commissioner Stevens.
Here.
Would you all join me, please, in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. To the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any changes or additions to the agenda? Hearing none, we'll proceed to public comment. This is an opportunity for the public to speak before the commission for items on the agenda. We have no applications for public comment. We'll move on to what we call the consent calendar. The consent calendar is where we can hold a vote on a number of routine items without discussion. Today, that will include meeting minutes from a regular session, July 1st, and financials for June 2025 and the event calendar for August. We need to separate any of those, commissioners?
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve the consent calendar as presented.
Second.
All favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Consent calendar is approved. We've got a couple of action items tonight. They are significant. We need to hear what we have to support these items. First of all, we're going to talk about central waterfront dredging. Executive Director.
Commissioners, if you would turn to page 81 of your packets, I have the bid tabulation of the different bids that we received from six different contractors in response to an invitation to bid for dredging roughly 100,000 cubic yards of sediment on the central waterfront. We issued this in mid-June, ended up having the bids come back in a very large disparity of costs. Our low bidder was J.F. Brennan at $1.449 million. And high bidder was Legacy Contracting at $11.294 million. Obviously, that's quite a disparity. We have looked through the bids. J.F. Brennan is obviously a reputable contractor. They're a very large company out of Wisconsin. They do dredging all over the country. And so we've evaluated all of the bids, looked at J.F. Brennan's. There was one little hiccup with this, in that they did not provide acknowledgement of addendums 4 and 5, but they were not material. They were just more kind of a form thing. So we waived those. And so what we're looking at for this project is right at $1.449 million for 3 years of dredging. And again, on page 81, you can see how we've got this broken down. The most important area that we need to dredge is off the face where the cruise terminal is. We're looking at getting 50,000 cubic yards done this first year of dredging. And then over the subsequent years, 40,000 cubic yards in slip one on the east side of slip one, and then 35,000 cubic yards in slip one on the west side of slip one. So all total, it's about, it's 125,000 cubic yards, and we're looking to get this started this year. We're hoping to get this dredging done in September. We've worked with DSL trying to get the permit times adjusted, but could not do that. So we're looking to start this in November get us through the next 3 years of dredging so that we can keep our waterfront open. What we need from the commission this evening is approval for staff to enter into the contract with J.F. Brennan based on the terms presented in their proposal.
Thank you. Any questions for District Director?
I have questions. I would also notice that the disparity in the bids. Is this pretty common for a project like this that they have like a, you know, 1.4 million up to 11.2 million?
That disparity is rare. We don't see that type of disparity in these types of projects. And the other thing to remember here is we have not typically had, you know, six bidders either. So usually we're having two or three. So to have six here, there's a very different range that you have. And so even if you're looking at, even if you take JF Brennan as an outlier and Legacy as an outlier, most of those are between $2.6 and $4 million.
Yeah, and that seems about like what you'd expect to see.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about the dollar amount, but is this dredging project about equal or bigger than other dredging projects we've had?
We've not gone out for a dredging contract like this. I don't remember when. We've had the last real significant dredging contract we've had on the property is Berkeson Construction, but that was in the West Mooring Basin. That's a much smaller. So the total dredging volumes on that was about 75,000 cubic yards, mm-hmm, several years. Yeah.
Now this is a 3-year contract.
Correct.
And is this the amount for the entire 3 years?
Correct. Correct.
I know these guys are competitors. They were mine, but it's kind of hard to beat, and they come in low quite frequently, and things are slowed down. So. Ready for a motion?
Well, let me ask just one question of the director, and probably for the benefit of the people here listening. The lowest bid from Brennan, the company that staff has recommended, was $1,449,500. And we're talking about the disparity because the highest bid was $11 million. So that is quite a disparity there, and it does cause all of us to kind of look at it and wonder. Yes, we're ready for a motion.
You see that quite often. Somebody tries to get lucky. I move to approve the contract with IF Brennan Company Incorporated to perform maintenance dredging along the Central Waterfront for fiscal year 25 through 28 in the total amount of $1,449,500.
I'll second that.
Have a motion and a second. Further discussion.
I would just add before we vote, we've also kind of concurrently with going through this bid process of looking at different ways to pay for this. This is a new thing for the port to be contracting out for dredging on our central waterfront. And so we were disappointed that when we have actually two dredge projects on the docket here. We have the central waterfront, but also we have Bergerson Construction under contract to dredge the East Mooring Basin as well. And so from a financial perspective, pulling off both of these projects at the same time is going to be a financial burden. And so there was a Senate bill during the legislative session, Senate Bill 361, that was going to provide support, not only the Port of Astoria, but multiple ports to support dredge operations. And so the port was set to receive 50% of our dredge costs for the East Mooring Basin. And so that was approximately, I think, $360,000. Unfortunately, that bill did not end up making it through during the session. And so actually just yesterday, Director McGrath and I were in a meeting with Business Oregon, with the Mark Landauer, the director of the Oregon Public Ports Association, to talk about some options and how we can get some support for what I view is a, you know, it's sort of the a little bit of the elephant in the room when it comes to operations of the port, or just the significant dredge costs. You know, when we're looking at a an operating budget somewhere in the range of $7 million, and our dredge obligations are these kind of numbers. And then, you know, the dredging itself doesn't actually make any revenue. It allows you to maintain access to your facilities so that your other infrastructure can generate revenue and fulfill the mission of the port to be an economic driver. And so this continues to be a concern. I think it's going to be a topic of discussion, and it has in the past at our finance committee. But that is a concern moving forward. I was pleased with the results of the bids we received, because, you know, going into this and based on the range that you see, you just don't, you're not quite sure to get a bid in at the 1.449 over a 3-year period, I think is really reasonable. But for a port our size, it definitely is still a burden. So I just wanted to let the commission know and the public that we are working on kind of solutions for how, not only for this year, but in the future, that we're going to be able to fund these things.
Thank you. Do we know if Senator Weber or Representative Javadi intend to bring that bill up again in the short session?
Yeah, so I was going to cover it in my comments, but I just had this conversation with Representative Javadi when he was here for his community forum the other night. And, I think he's sympathetic to the issue. We've talked with him a lot. And then I talked with both Senator Weber and her assistant, Katie Pritchard, the other day as well. And so they're aware of the issue. Obviously, they're both in the minority party at the state level. But I think, you know, this really should be, in my mind, a bipartisan issue. I do think that it's a little bit interesting with kind of what's going on now at the state level. And there's obviously it's been much talked about in the news with Bill 2025, the transportation bill, and the impacts to ODOT, and now the governor getting involved. And in some ways, this is a similar situation, but on a smaller scale. I mean, really, this dredging is creating roadways underwater and access. And so it's I find it interesting. There's so much talk about the ODOT stuff, but I think dredging should be included in that discussion as well, because it's important. And it's becoming more and more of a burden, particularly for coastal ports. And the reality is that the costs are getting to the point where they so far outpace revenues for these organizations that I'm not sure how feasible that is into the future for small ports, especially on the coast, to be contracting out dredging and bearing 100% of the financial burden.
Certainly agree. Further discussion? Dredging is sort of like our aorta. Cut that off and we're in trouble. Motion before the floor. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Not opposed. We have a quorum tonight, so that passes. We will move on. Next item on the agenda is findings of fact to support exemption RFP for Astoria Regional Airport Terminal. That's all code. So we'll let the staff explain that one to y'all.
Thank you, Commissioner. If you'll turn to page 183 in your packet, what we have is a finding of facts to support an exemption for a project that we're looking to do at the FBO. This is the remodel of the kitchen space and the restrooms. So and there's going to be some other work done with this, relocating water heaters, doing some electrical work, putting new doors, windows in some locations, and then also a lift on the west side of the building. In order to get this done in budget, the budget on this is $190,000 to get that work done. It would be a bit cost prohibitive to do a complete design bid build project. And so what we're looking to do is have an exemption on this so that we can provide direction to the bidders that are going to show up and explain what needs to be done, and then design and build that way. So in order to do that, we had to come up with this findings of fact to support the exemption and present this to the commission so that we can get this invitation to bid out to proposers.
And to be clear, this doesn't eliminate the competitive proposal process. It's still going to go through that. It just kind of changes the order rather than going through the design phase first and then taking that to bid, because not only for budget, but also this is a fairly simple design project. It makes more sense just to take this to bid and then work with that winning bidder on the design as we move forward.
Who's the consultant that you have come on board to do the consulting?
Consulting for what now?
This here says the board is retaining services of consultants with a range of depth and experience necessary to successfully navigate alternative contracting methods of procurement.
Where are you looking at that?
I'll ask the paragraph.
Page 187?
187.
Oh, that it's talking about our attorney, Eileen Akins.
Attorney?
Eileen, the port's legal counsel has ample previous experience. That's what she's talking about.
Is this a common approach for small projects like this?
Yep.
Well, before. Well, it makes sense that so that we shift the burden of the design and the all that to the bidders, right? And then present that to us and we will accept it or.
Correct.
The discussion. That building, 1966, the total cost of the building, it was $110,000. That's 90% of inflation.
All right, we have a motion.
I move to approve the written findings supporting the exemption under the 279C.335, paragraph 2 for the airport terminal building contract.
You make the motion?
I did.
You did, yes.
I'll second it. You got a motion and a second? Further discussion? The regional airport terminal building serves the entire public. You may not be aware of it, but we're getting crowds at the airport now when we have events there. Our annual fly-in, we got an antique airplane show there recently, and I'll mention in my comments later on, the Young Eagles folks have been out there twice in the last year, and the FBO has gotten a lot of traffic going through it. I certainly support the idea that we can use some remodeling to support our public. Further discussion? Motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. And one more comment.
Don't forget the flagpole. We need a flagpole out there.
Good comment. The motion passed. And that deals with our action items for this evening. And then we can open it up for public comment once again for any item on your mind. It's an opportunity to speak regarding port concerns not on the agenda. Yes, sir.
I have a letter that I'd like to read to the board. Sell copies to Long.
Thank you. Thank you. If you take the podium and speak slowly, loudly, and
all right.
If you would, please state your name and your residence.
Part of my address. My name is Bruce Williams.
You're being recorded.
I'm being recorded. Well, okay, good. I live here in Estorine.
Okay.
Dear Director Isom and Board Commissioners, my name is Bruce Williams. I'm a member of the leadership team for the Indivisible North Coast Oregon Group, a nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of our democracy. In July, I had asked Commissioner Fenkel for help in understanding the port's policy on the use of the East Orion Basin parking lot for a political rally. Thank you, Commissioner Finkel, for your help, and Director Isom for your quick response. I appreciate the transparency of the court's position on political activities and the legal concerns involved. In your response, Mr. Isom, you indicated that there was no board policy for this, but that the executive director would have broad authority to approve such activities. In your note, you said, quote, according to the court attorney, to avoid legal liability, we either must allow all types of rallies or none. I believe it is in the best interest of the court to allow none of it. Close quotes. While I understand the challenges of allowing political rallies, it strikes me that a blanket ban on political expression could stifle civic engagement and limit community participation. Instead of prohibiting all political activities, I encourage the court to consider a policy that would permit political expression while addressing legal liabilities. This could involve guidelines to ensure activities are respectful, orderly, and clean. By allowing diverse voices, the port can uphold democratic values and foster community engagement, both vitally important in these troubled times. I urge you to seek a solution that balances the public safety with the right to free speech, and I hope that you will reconsider the port's current position on public use. Thank you for your attention, and I look forward to your response. And I would happily answer any questions. Mike.
Questions for Mr. Williams.
Just to be clear, you approached me, Bruce, about using the parking lot, and I said I didn't know about using that. I directed it. I think I directed the email to Will, and then Will replied to me, and I forwarded it. That's how this has come about, right? And so, also, my name is spelled a little bit differently than what you put in the letter, but. That's okay. I knew who you were talking to. So it is your wish that a part of Astoria property be open and available for a political event.
Yes. Yeah, we would like to have a rally where we could have speakers, some music, to be able to develop community engagement, participation in that way. The Port Authority, the parking lot at the East Morgan Basin is in a very nice location. It would not disturb many businesses in town to have a rally in that location. It also gives us the opportunity to move from a stage-oriented rally to move up onto the street for a political protest, as you possibly have seen us do once or twice this year. So that's our goal. We'd like to have a space in town where we can hold such a rally. It is very difficult in this town to find any place that works. It is also ADA available. And it's just tough. We had a session up at Shively Park, and that was great, but Shively Park building can only have, I think it's 50 people legally inside, and people that have disabilities have no way to get up that hill. So it's an issue. The various parks around town are complicated for various reasons. The parking lot at the East Marine Basin looks ideal to me. So kind of nice when
it goes here. Okay. We typically charge for parking during sometimes. Are you saying that you're going to pay for the use?
I would rather not, to be honest.
Of course not.
I have noticed that the parking lot has had probably an average of about 5 cars per week or per day over the last year or so since,
It depends on the season.
It does. I understand that. The problem. Fishermen there and so on. But in general, the parking lot is essentially empty. I looked at it and I estimated that we could probably have a successful rally in about a third of the parking lot, leaving plenty of access for the parking if that was a concern.
I'm not familiar with what the regulations and the laws are for a public port. I do know that in federal, if a building is not occupied at the time by a government entity, it can be used for public purposes. I'm not sure how we sit here in Oregon, and I had to defer to the director, and I think we will. Any further questions?
You said, I think we will. What?
I think we will confer with our director, yeah.
Okay, so
thank you for taking the time to come here. Appreciate
thank you
it.
Very much. I appreciate your concern and attention on this.
And we're ready now for commission reports. Commissioner Fickle, and that's EL.
Sorry.
Yes. Well, my report is going to consist of, I got a breathless email this morning from, was it from you? No, from you forwarded from someone else, that apparently I'm going to be interviewed on KATU, our local ABC news affiliate, not our local, but Portland, tomorrow to talk about port stuff, I guess. 5 minutes TV time. My wife even got me a shirt already. And so, I don't know a lot about it. I guess it's a new segment that they have on this particular channel, and it's called ARC something, authentic something something community. And so I hope to be able to discuss the port in 5 minutes and say nice things about our area and represent us in some positive light. That's my report is going to come later when I get on TV.
We've got a finance committee meeting coming up. When?
The 27th.
27th. So, any of the commissioners have anything they want to have discussed at that meeting? I think Melanie will take this. Isn't that correct? You'll receive it, whatever you got to bring up, or you can show up in person.
Yes, that's on my calendar to be on the 27th. Noon, correct? Lunch is served.
That's to get you a phone.
And be there.
Salami sandwiches.
Okay. Can we talk afterwards about your interview?
Yes, that's part of the reason why I said that, because I want to talk to anybody good. Who has any. Yeah.
Well, we'll get to my comments. I thought I got rid of this job. Okay, I am subbing tonight. Our chairman is out of pocket right now. I did see an article in the Saturday Daily Historian about Port of Portland wanting to use spoil areas in Clatsop County for dredge spoils. I gave it to our deputy director. So if you guys would take a look at that, let us know if we should be concerned. I did mention it as well to your environmental officer to see if she was aware of it. Okay, thank you. Personally, what I've been busy with is I did volunteer on Saturday. We held another Young Eagle event. And we had a lot of participation by volunteers and young people who wanted to get their first familiarization flight in a private airplane. And that's actually the first step toward getting a pilot's license. It was a pleasure to see them all eager there and their eyes wide open. We had 10 total that got handed their official logbook and signed by the pilot of the aircraft that took them up for a quick 20-minute ride around the Astoria Column out to the beaches and around Fort Stevens, and then a return and safe landing. Don Reichel's brother,
Andre,
when he gathered his group together, he said, "Is this your first flight?" They said, "Yes." And he said, "Me too." Okay. I'll finish up with America had its 250th birthday. 15 years later, the grandfather of the U.S. Coast Guard Revenue Cutter Service was born. Happy birthday as of August 4th to the U.S. Coast Guard. That concludes my comments.
All right.
We'll move on. Executive Director comments.
Thank you, Commissioner. So I have a few items. Most of them are fairly short. I guess first, thank you to Commissioner Stevens for running the meeting on short notice. I learned that Commissioner Roan wasn't going to be here about 90 minutes ago. And so I called Commissioner Stevens immediately to let him know that he would be chairing the meeting tonight. So I appreciate it. Also, just before the meeting, our head of finance, Melanie, let me know that we still need to get signatures at our bank for the signer card. So when you get a chance, stop by Lewis and Clark Bank. I need to do it as well. I have not signed the card yet. So just a reminder, we need to get that signed. One thing to put on your schedule, Oregon Public Ports is once again going to host their annual conference here in Astoria. They were here, what was it, 2-3 years ago now, hosting their conference at the Cannery Pier. This time it's September 25th and 26th. That's a Thursday and Friday. Thursday and Friday, September 25, 26, and they're going to be doing it at the Barbie Center. So when it's available, I'll get you a full schedule of the itinerary of events, but mark that on your calendar. It's a good opportunity. Some of these conferences that we go to, you know, you might get something out of 10 or 20% of what gets discussed. These Oregon Public Ports meetings, they tend to have valuable information and not a lot of waste. So I do enjoy and Mark, their executive director, does a really good job of kind of preparing things. And he's, you know, a lobbyist at the state level and is really in tune with a lot of the policy making, some of the things coming down the pipeline that we need to be aware of. And so it's a good informative event. A few things here at the port. We're in the process of hiring another member of our staff out at the boatyard. It's probably long overdue, but we had posted for that position here last month, had a number of applicants. And so right now going through the interview process, I'm hoping to get somebody hired on here soon to help Brandon and Joey out with how busy they are. Work continues on Pier 2 with the emergency repairs to the west side. Bergerson Construction is doing that work. And as always, they do a wonderful job. Also want to thank our processors, Deang and Bornstein. We've obviously been working with them through this process, and it's not easy. It's a busy time right now. And so trying to coordinate everything and keep certain portions of the pier open so that they can still offload while we're working is a bit of a logistics challenge, but we're working through it. So I want to thank both Bergerson and our tenants out there for making this work. We did host last Thursday a town hall with Representative Javity. It was a packed house in this room. It was standing room only. We had extra chairs and people in the hallways. And overall, I think it was a fine event. Those types of meetings sometimes can get a little bit out of hand, but I thought in general that things were fairly smooth. And I think in general, people were pretty respectful and there were only a few interruptions. So I think it was good and a good opportunity for the community to be able to meet with the representative and ask questions. And the last thing I want to mention, regatta festivities start up tomorrow, run through the weekend. The parade is Saturday, which is the 9th at noon. We're going to have the port's going to be in the parade. I think we've had at least one commissioner at RSVP that they're going to Commissioner Fickle is going to be involved with that as well. Our head of security, Matt Hansen, is kind of leading that for the port. So that's Saturday at noon is the parade. So that's all I had.
Questions for the director?
I had one question. So I went to the Lewis and Clark Bank and filled out the form, and I believe they said that later I would come back and sign the card. So you said now I can go sign the card.
Is that right, Melanie?
Okay.
Did my signature count, or do I have to go there again?
Oh,
okay. All right.
Will do.
What?
Hear anything in regards to Scudar? They still.
I don't know what.
They're selling the building.
Well done.
They're selling the building.
Are they still paying rent? Couldn't make it work.
Yes. Mr. Director, you said September 26th and 27th for the Oregon Pledge?
25 and 26th. That's a Thursday, Friday.
Okay, 25 and 26th. So.
Yep, at the Barbie Center. And as soon as I get the full schedule, I'll get it to you.
All right, good. Okay, further questions? Hearing none, our upcoming meeting dates will be a workshop session August 19th, 4 p.m. right here, and a regular session September 2nd at 4 p.m. also right here in the building. Nothing further? Meeting is adjourned.